And these groups started actually in Europe, but they had four fundamental precepts. And it was absolute honesty, purity, unselfishness, and love. And along with that, they practiced what were called five procedures. And those were, I have to look at my notes, man. Was to give in to God. Doesn't that sound like fun? Listen to God's direction. Check guidance that you get from God. Restitution, meaning that we give and pay back folks what we owe them. As well as sharing for both witness and confession. And so when Roland ran into this simple message that he was getting from the entrepreneurs, and it seemed like something perhaps that he could go along with. So he stuck it up with them and began to practice what they were teaching, and Roland found the sobriety that he longed for at long last. And he stayed with the Oxford groups for I don't know how many years, but he was in the Oxford groups when he was approached by a couple of guys by the name of Shep and Cedra. Kind of odd names. But they wanted him to kind of meet a friend of theirs, a guy by the name of Eddie Thatcher. And so I did. And he said, you know, this Abby, we used to drink with him, and we've been to talk to him about the Oxford groups because he really needs it. He's bad to drink. He's been getting into a lot of trouble. So Roland went. He talked to Abby for a little bit, talked to him about the Oxford groups, the change that came over him. And Abby, as he's drinking, going, yeah, this really sounds good. It's not really unfamiliar. I heard this when I was a kid, and he kept on drinking. But one thing that Abby noticed, he was impressed with Roland. And he was impressed because Roland shared with him about his drinking sprees that were kind of prolonged and it had taken him all over the country, maybe a blackout or two there. And he was also impressed with the quality of man he was. This guy stayed with him and helped him fix up the home and was very kind. Well, it turned out Abby was living in Manchester, Vermont. It was the old summer home of his family. His family was actually from Albany, New York. His brother was the mayor. And because of Abby's drinking, his family kind of decided he needed to go someplace else. So they suggested perhaps he go to the old summer home and get at a site in Manchester, Vermont. And that's what he did. And he was there drinking, doing a lot of brooding and drinking, and it was getting into a little bit of trouble. Well, after Roland had come to see him the first time, at the time in that community, there's three strikes you're out. That sounds familiar. You get arrested three times for intoxication for any reason. If you're intoxicated, it's a mandatory jail sentence. He'd come out of his, this house had been run down and had been freshly painted, his brother got it painted, and Abby came out of the house and he noticed that there were four or five pigeons flying around, and he took it real personal because he felt sure they were aiming for that paint job. So he went into the house and he got a shotgun and came back out, took aim, fired, and with the first blast, he slipped in the grass, ended up on his back. But he kept on shooting. He's persistent. I don't know if he hit any pigeons, but he sure did ruffle the feathers of all his neighbors. And they called the cops, and sure enough, he's arrested again. So off he goes to the judge, and he's getting ready to go to jail. It's mandatory. Well, Cedra's father happened to be the judge, so they talked to the father, the judge. And then they called on Roland again. He said, can you please come help? Surely there's something you can do to help Abby. Well, Roland showed up and interceded for Abby, and the judge agreed for Roland to take custody of Abby, kind of like a puppy. Come with me. And it was because Roland was sober and he had the reputation of being an honest and upstanding man. One of us, go figure. And that might be the precursor for our corrections work before we were even here. But anyway, that was the first case of such. So Roland kind of took charge of Abby and tried to indoctrinate her to the Oxford groups. And then After a couple of weeks, he took him to New York and took him to a place that was called, it was a mission actually, of Calvary Episcopal Church. And the rector at the time was Reverend Sam Shoemaker. And he was probably the unofficial leader of the Oxford groups. These Oxford groups didn't have any formal organization. They didn't have membership fees. They were non-denominational. They weren't allied with any religion. And sometimes they held these big meetings for several thousand people, and people would get up and speak and tell their stories. And at other times they met in the polls, smaller groups. And sometimes two or three of them would go out and share their message with other people. And the whole idea with the Oxford groups was about people undergoing a change, a spiritual change where they became different human beings. So this is where Abby ended up. By the way, does that sound familiar? Big meetings, speakers, smaller meetings, carrying the message. Anyway. So anyway, Abby went to the mission, and he ended up staying with what was called the Brotherhood. The Brotherhood were a few guys that actually were charged with running the mission. Of course, the mission was all about taking care of the derelicts that came in, most of them smelling kind of bad, most of them no money, most of them were drunks. And they'd give them some food in a bed, and then they'd have to go to some kind of religious service at night. So that's where Abby ended up. Lo and behold, he started to practice this whole thing that the Oxford groups had going, and he stopped drinking, and he kept at it. And this was about the summer of 1934. And he kept at this, and getting towards the fall, the Oxford groupers were saying, you know, Abby, it's about time you went and shared this message. You know, you gotta give it away. And Abby had just happened to hear about an old friend of his, an old school chum, that was in bad, bad way. In fact, he was about to die. And Abby thought, well, maybe I should go see this character, Bill. He sounds like he's in worse shape than I was, and he surely needs something to happen. And that's what he did. He made up his mind, made a phone call to Bill to see if he could come and visit. Of course, this was Bill Wilson. But before he made the phone call, he thought back the last time he'd seen Bill, about 5 years prior to this. And Bill had come to Albany, they'd come together, and they'd spend all day in night drinking. Weren't in good shape. And they came up with this plan. You know, we always had a plan that they were going to hire a pilot and a plane, and they were going to fly to Manchester. Bill had to be there the next day. And I presume there was kind of a motivation, maybe a little bit more time to do some drinking rather than take the long plane ride or train ride. So they hired this plane and off they went. Nobody was real clear about the flight. Apparently, as soon as they took off, they pulled out a bottle, and all three of them were drinking, pilot included. But Bill had called ahead, because he's kind of a big shot, and he wanted to let the people in Manchester know that they were flying in, and they would be the first plane to land at their new airstrip. So don't you know we're important? So the plane circled the field and finally bounced to a stop. And there was a little delegation of a welcoming committee, all the dignitaries.